5, 2, 8, 2. Bonus episode.
Sorry, there's a new release from Radiance Films.
Talk about them a lot.
They're
doing some really great stuff. And they've just put out, which has been on a lot of people's wants list for years, Time to Play, a box set of films by Jacques Rosier. It's actually got all of his films, cinema films.
Right. I don't think I've seen any of them.
Right, well, it's hardly surprising because hardly any of them have been released outside France. I don't think they've ever had cinema releases in the UK.
Wow.
He's kind of called the forgotten man of the French New Wave. According to Godard, who said to us at the end of his life, Rosier was the New Wave all alone.
Oh, wow.
So his films have never really got much distribution outside of France. Like I say, the box has got all of his cinema features, a few short films and a documentary, plus some interviews. He did a lot he did a few more things for TV. They're not really on there, unfortunately, but maybe we'll get another box.
Yeah.
He's probably best known for his film on Jean Vigo from 1964, which isn't on the set, but you can get it on the Jean Vigo BFI set, the old DVD and the Blu-ray version
that's just come out.
That documentary's on there. It was made for cineaste Notre Temps, a long-running French TV series. So, yeah, two unusual facets about Jacques Rosier. One is his extremely small output, only 5 feature films between 1960 and 2001. And also that his films are they're basically all comedies, although there's a bit of melancholy in them. And all of his films, except the last one, are on one subject. Holidays! They're all about holidays. You had a great quote about that.
I was saying to Phil yesterday that American Hollywood films all seem to be about Christmas and French films all seem to be about going on holiday to the south of France or Brittany
There is this tradition.
I know which I prefer anyway.
There is Pee Wee's Holiday.
There is, yeah.
And doesn't Mr Bean go on holiday as well? Twice.
National Lampoon.
Yes.
National Lampoon's Holiday, of course. Yeah. But they've got a Christmas film too to cancel it out.
Yeah. They're not really commercial films, but at the same time, they're not exactly avant-garde intellectual exercises. Mm. They're quite accessible and enjoyable and funny films. And they aren't very, very much not plot-driven. You could call them hangout movies or an element of road movies to them as well. Very, very minimal plots, usually just an establishing situation. And that was kind of the method of production as well, is that the films are very heavily improvised. And you get the feeling watching them that the filmmakers are discovering the film as they go on, along with the viewer and along with the characters. I think Rosie said he likes to let the performers formulate their own language and their own gestures. And then he would spend a long time after these kind of improvised film shoots that tended to go on for quite a long time. And he'd spend a long time editing the results. As you can imagine, this isn't a method of making films that would enable producers and funders to sleep very soundly at night, which is probably why he made so few films.
The first feature by him is probably
the best known, Adieu Philippine, which was filmed in 1960 but wasn't actually widely released until 1963. It's probably his best known film and probably the one to start with. The setup is a guy named Michel, works at a TV station doing sort of general administrative things, and he's waiting to be called up for military service. This was the time of the Algerian War. And he's in a love triangle with two women. But it's kind of like, hard to say who has the upper hand. He may be playing the two women off each other, two may be playing with him. It's just kind of this game that they're playing with him. And also, at the same time, he's moonlighting, filming a quite hilarious advertisement for refrigerators. And he's been ripped off by the director of this commercial. Mm. Basically, he gets himself fired from his job and heads off to Corsica before his military call-up. The two women follow him there, and also he discovers that the advertising director who's ripped him off
is also there working on another job. So you've got this kind of intrigue. Talk about bringing all your problems on holiday with you going on, but this plot's really minimised and the film's more about spontaneous moments. It's non-professional actors and you get the feeling they've been put in sort of real-life situations as well. There's this kind of Club Med vibe going on in Corsica, which looks like documentary. The film came about because Godard had a big success with Bouddha Souffle, and the producer of that film basically asked Godard if there's anybody else who could make films for very little money.
Yeah.
And he recommended Demi, Agnès Varda and Rosier, who all had films.
Right.
After that, there was quite a lengthy fallout with the producer because apparently Rosier took too long to edit and release the film, and there were various technical mishaps.
Mm.
I think the whole thing had to be dubbed because something went wrong with the sound recording.
Right,
and they had
right.
like a guide track to record the sound,
and
the technician messed it up and didn't record it. So one reason it took a long time to edit is basically they had to lip read what the what the people were saying to redub it. The film got extensive praise from Godard and Truffaut. It was the front cover of Cahiers du Cinéma's Nouvelle Vague issue, but it was a huge financial flop. It's interesting to watch for a lot of reasons. It's an interesting kind of time capsule of that era in France. The music's quite intriguing as well that they're listening to.
Is it black and white?
Oh, yeah. It's trad jazz, but also sort of early rock and roll and things like that. And it's, just a really, really great film with a... Even though there's not a lot of plot, there's a lot of things you could observe. After that, his next film didn't come out till 1973. De Côte d'Orette, or Near Urouette. It was filmed in 1969, but didn't come out until 4 years later. People generally think that's his masterpiece.
Okay.
I'm not sure I agree, but it's one that I like a lot. It's his longest film, and maybe his
really
most
good.
Loosely structured. We rewatched this one last night. I had seen it before quite a long time ago. But, yeah, it's great fun. The setup for this one is kind of similar to the first film. It's three young women this time who work in an office, decide to go on holiday at a seaside villa that's owned by the parents of one of them. Their bumbling boss, a guy named Gilbert, who's played by Bernard Menez, who'd be sort of a regular in Rosie's subsequent films, as would Caroline Cartier, who plays one of the women, has obviously got a crush on one of them, and basically he follows them to this place. He kind of elbows his way in and is allowed to join in the fun because they're kind of amused by him. But everlasting summer is fading fast and eventually tensions start to rise. So, yeah, basically, no plot again, sort of this chain of semi-improvised farcical situations involving clogs and cakes, tents, casinos,
eels,
a lot of eels.
So many eels.
There's a lot of eels, a lot of boats, and there's a lot of giggling and screeching, which might drive you up the wall.
I had to say that the screeching and... was like kind of testing my patience.
It is, yeah,
in a, way.
A little bit
more.
It's
like I would hate to go on holiday and then find these people living next door to me because you just go bananas. But,
at least you only get 2.5 hours of them with the film. And there's a lot of kind of private jokes that they're all sharing, like the name Arouette.
Oh, yeah.
Place name so Arouette seems to amuse them and they keep coming up with rhymes involving it.
Yeah, that seems to have derived to naturally
it.
From just them
everything
reading
does.
It and...
I watched one of the documentaries on the set and one of the actresses is saying, yeah, that's us laughing for real. We're doing all of this for real. And there's, apparently there's a real bit of psychodrama in there and that Bernard Menez was getting sick of being kind of these three women taking the piss out of him, and he said they were treating him like their puppy dog. And that scene where he throws a fit and starts breaking the plates was semi acted for real.
Oh wow! Okay.
There's some amazing filming in it, especially in the boat scenes. There's live sound this time; everything's recorded live on set, which makes it better. Also, intriguingly, there's music. The theme music's by Gong, a very early lineup of Gong.
Wow, really?
Again, the producers weren't happy and they pulled the plug before the filming was complete.
Wow.
According to one of the documentaries on the box set, Rosier had to go back to Paris. He actually bought a load of rolls of films from a Fnac store and then went back to the set and filmed the rest of it.
Oh. Wow.
With film that he bought on his credit card. It's interesting also in the documentary that Rosier says that... filmmaking for him is like a cross between sailing and cooking. One way you get to head off on this adventure and you're not sure what's going to happen, but also you've got to put something together with whatever ingredients you've got. And there's a lot of sailing and a lot of cooking.
And sometimes you capsize.
And sometimes you capsize, yeah.
Sometimes catch eels.
Sometimes catch eels. The booklet that comes with the set's quite good. I mean, there's not a lot to it, and I think like a really good English language book on this director is something that's needed. But there's a really good essay on Cote Durrett in the booklet, and there's also an interview with the director where he talks about all of his films, including the ones which he had ideas for but never got to actually make. And of course, they far outnumber the films that he actually got to make.
So it's about £60, this, isn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
It'll probably come down in price, won't it?
No, it'll sell
you
out.
You don't think?
It'll sell
out. Oh, is it limited edition?
Yeah, they're all limited editions, yeah. I've done that before with Radiance things, hoping that things would come down in price, but no, they don't just sell out. Sometimes what they do is put some of the films out individually, not in a box.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's going to sell out, so as ever with Radiance.
Have you found much online in English language sources about him?
There's a great article on Senses of Cinema, which I'll link.
Yeah, we'll provide.
I'll just run briefly through the other films, because I think I don't want to make this into a Jack Rosier special.
A whole feature.
Yeah, it could easily be one. Maybe we should do that at some stage. The other films are The Castaways of Turtle Island, which was an attempt to make a more commercial film, and it's got a great commercial idea. It's about a travel agent who has an idea to do Robinson Crusoe holidays where you pay to get stranded on a desert island. But Rosier being Rosier, it's basically an improvised kind of adventure rather than a story. I like this one a lot. It's maybe not quite as good as the previous two. And is very rambling in parts, but, you know, rambling comes with the territory with this director, and there's a lot of really funny stuff in it. And intriguingly, Rosier's interest in Brazilian music and culture comes through in this one. The music is performed on screen, because he's a member of the cast, by the great Brazilian percussionist Nana Vasconcelos. So for me, it was worth seeing to see some footage of him playing alone, because there's not a lot out there. The next film, Main Ocean, or Main Ocean Express, is about a Brazilian samba dancer with very limited grasp of English who finds herself upbraided by a ticket inspector on the train for not having punched a ticket right, and is threatened with a fine. And a lawyer who can speak Portuguese comes to her defence. The lawyer is on the way to see her client, who is this sailor. And basically all four of them go on this kind of multi-levelled, multi-changing adventure, which takes up the rest of the film. That's one of his funniest and most appealing ones. Again, the production company pulled the plug after 6 weeks of filming and with no end in sight, and Rosie had to improvise an ending, but it's an absolutely brilliant ending.
Yeah.
And the final film in the box is a film called Fifi Martingale from 2001, which is a bit of a departure in that it's about intrigue in the theatre world between directors and actors. I have seen this one before. I didn't like it especially, but I'm willing to give it another go.
Is it in colour, this one?
All of the later ones are in colour. Oh, right. There's only a Jew Philippine. You also get some nice extras. There's his first film, Blue Jeans, from 1958, a short film, which I haven't watched yet. Two films, Paparazzi and Le Parti des Choses, which are two films shot on the set of Godard's Le Mépris.
Oh.
I think they were both done for television. There's another TV film called Letter de la Sierra Morena, which is kind of a joke about filmmaking done in the form of Don Quixote. And there's a really great documentary, which I had seen before, from French television, an hour-long documentary called Jacques Rosier From One Wave to Another, which is about his whole career. So, yeah, a really wonderful box, and it's great to see these films again.
Yeah. More the merrier, I say.
They won't be for everyone, I think. A lot of people really hate French New Wave films.
I love them.
And if you hate French New Wave films, you're going to be especially hating these ones.
Totally confounded by these.
There's a thing now that people talk about, you know, people who think they know the score on Letterboxd and other sites. Pacing problems. This film had pacing problems, as if there's some like precise mathematical formula for how a film should be paced, which would lean to this lovely conveyor belt of completely identical films coming out. Jacques Rosier's films go by their own damn, go at their own damn pace, and are all the better for not following conventional pace. Yeah, I think it's this sort of the people who complain that about how much they hate the French New Wave and the pacing people. I think there's a bit of a Venn diagram crossover. And I also noticed that there's a lot of crossover between the pacing people and the hating French cinema people, and people who make a point of telling you how much they hate jazz. So I think you know, these are all the same kind of people, and we should pity them, really.
Not our audience.
It's a sad life, we should pity them.
So, yeah...
You've set Kevin off now.
Oh, yeah.
Poor lad.
Oh, dear.
If you hate jazz, you'll probably hate Jack Rosier's films as well. But
he sounds like
for everyone else, I'd say pick this up if you're interested in it, because I think due to the licensing issues and also for commercial reasons, a lot of the sets of limited editions and this one, apparently this one's selling well and will probably sell out.
Okay, well, you can.
Similar to some of the things we've covered in the past, no real UK releases on these things, I'd imagine.
This apparently is the first UK release for anything to do with Jacques Rosier.
I'd say it's mad, but it's not really.
Well, that seems to be all.
Well, until we meet again, take care of yourself.